Psalm 100, we'll read that. I'm pretty sure that's the right verse. Let's all stand together. We were going to start in Acts chapter 35 tonight, but I didn't think you'd be able to get there. Psalm 100, we're going to talk about being thankful tonight. Being thankful. Oh, by the way, if you have discipleship and you've not been dismissed, you're more than welcome to go and meet. So discipleship, if you need to be dismissed, you can be dismissed at this time. Psalm chapter 100, start in the first verse. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. You say, what does that mean? That's the way most of us sing, okay? It's nothing more than a joyful noise. That's okay. God has perfect ears, and he takes what sounds horrible to us, and which really is horrible, and his ears, it sounds good. Now, when you sing to me, it doesn't sound good, okay? You think when you sing in the shower, how many of you think you're a shower superstar? That's only because the water drowns it out, okay? But hey, as long as you're singing to the Lord, that's a good thing. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And we didn't just happen by accident either. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray this evening and we'll be seated. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We could never thank you enough for your love. It's not an amazing thing that any of us would love you. It's an amazing thing that you first loved us. And Lord, as we enter into this Thanksgiving season, this Thanksgiving week, may we truly take time to be thankful. I pray, Lord, that actually as we pray on a daily basis that we would be thankful to you. We have so much to be thankful for. May we never forget you. May our hearts not wander away from you to the point where we forget the good things that you do for us. Lord, you're always good. We just need to recognize it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we're coming into the Thanksgiving season. And, of course, Thanksgiving really is a Christian holiday. And a lot like Christmas, it has become secularized. It's about, we understand how it started. I believe it was 1621, and our forefathers had, they basically, three-day feast, thanking God for his provisions and what he did. They had just come through a very, very tough time. We're just founding our land, and we understand all of that. But when we think about Thanksgiving now, what do we think about? We think about turkey. We think about football. Cowboys, who typically will be losing, I'm pretty sure. And we think about eating way too much. By the way, who did the Cowboys lose to this week, Gear? Okay, Thursday they're going to lose to somebody. The Lions usually lose too, so what's the big deal? But that's what we think about when we think about Thanksgiving. We're all caught up in the food. And by the way, I'm all for the food. I'm all for the feasting. And football, I'm all for football. I'm a Rams fan, so what do I know? I heard a story. There was a lady, she was getting her Thanksgiving turkey, and she's picking through all the frozen turkeys at the store, and she just couldn't find one big enough. So she asked a stock boy, she goes, hey, do these turkeys get any bigger? And he said, no, they're all dead. So I hope you have your turkey already. You don't want to wait to the last minute. By the way, make sure you de-thaw it. I know there's sometimes we forgot to de-thaw it, and then you have to put it in the bathtub and all that stuff. It's not good. But let's make sure we're ready. But let's make sure we understand what it means to truly be thankful. Let me give you two definitions of thankfulness that are not original with me. Thankfulness is expressing heartfelt appreciation to God and to others for the ways in which they have blessed my life. That's really what thankfulness is. It's looking at what God and people God has used in your life and specifically thanking them for ways in which they've been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Thankfulness. By the way, we're not very thankful anymore. We don't. We catch ourselves not even saying thank you when someone does something for us. And I catch my kids are the same way. I remember back when we were having summer saturation, back when we used to bring you the donuts before they got really expensive, I took the kids and we were at Krispy Kreme and they were getting the free donuts. And it was the three little ones. And so they got the free donut while I was getting the donuts to bring to church. And so they're all eating it. You know how the Krispy Kremes are, the fresh ones. You get the glaze all over your face. You know, the little kids are stuffing their. I'm like, hey, is that good? Oh, yeah, it's good, Dad. Did you tell the lady thank you? And it's like, yeah, they're good, Dad. You know, that means they didn't say thank you. I said, that's great. Next week, I'll be coming by myself. You're not coming. Okay? And then you'll remember to say thank you next time. So when we came back 2 weeks later and they were able to come, they were saying thankful before they got their donuts. But it's just a lost art anymore of thanking people for the things they do for us and thanking God. We probably don't thank people enough because we're probably not thankful to God enough. It's something we all need to work on. Another definition of thankfulness would be this: specifically making known to God and others in what ways they have blessed my life. See, in America, it's the self-made man, the self-made woman. I don't need anybody's help. It's just all about me and working hard, and no one helps me out. I heard a story. There was a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and he was driving with his wife, and they pulled into a gas station to get gas, and he went to pay for the gas. And when he came out, his wife was having a pretty heavy conversation with the guy that was there pumping the gas for them. And so after they left, he's like, hey, who was that you were talking to? She goes, well, you know, that was a guy I knew when I was in high school. He goes, really? He goes, yeah. She goes, fact of the matter is, we dated in high school. He goes, oh, wow. And he told her, he goes, I bet you're thinking how glad you are that you married me, a Fortune 500 president, and not some guy who's a gas station attendant. She goes, well, no. I was thinking that if I would have married him, he'd be the Fortune 500 president and you'd be pumping my gas. She had a high opinion of herself. She probably was right. But thankfulness, we're not thankful to God and to others for the things that come in our life. So I want to mention several things today. Number one, I want to talk about the importance of thankfulness. How important is it? Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. And we could look at many verses in the Bible about being thankful, and we'll quote several here. But being thankful to God is very important. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Now, he's naming some pretty bad things here. I want you to catch some of these things. For men shall, he's talking about the end times, of course, and the coldness of our hearts and how things are going to get a little bit worse. And he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And by the way, we are there. We're so caught up in ourselves, that's all we think about sometimes. We wouldn't lift a finger to help anybody else. It's all, everything is revolves around me, me, me. Covetous. We know that's bad. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Boasters. By the way, most people, if you want to talk to them, talk to them about them. That's their favorite subject. You find that one thing about them that they like, the conversation is on. And usually their stories are a little bit better about themselves than they really should be. Boaster. Proud. Now, we all know that God hates pride. That's a bad. Blasphemers. Nobody would be a blasphemer here. Blaspheme God's holy name. Disobedient to parents. Well, how'd that slip in there? That was for you little kids tonight. Okay. Look at what this next one. Unthankful. Yep. I mean, blasphemers. Covetous. Lovers of their own selves. Boasters, blasphemer, unthankful. Unthankfulness here is keeping some pretty bad company. Yeah. It tells you what God thinks about when we get to the place where we're not thankful. Being thankful for everything. That's why we complain. That's why we do a lot of things, because we're not thankful. So being thankful is pretty high on God's priority list. And by the way, when we come before God, God wants us to come before him with thanksgiving. By the way, we've been talking about prayer on Sunday night, but when you get down and you pray to the Lord, before you ever ask him for something, you ought to stop and be thankful to him for what's going on in your life. We'll talk about some things in a little bit, how we can do that. It's easy for us to become disgruntled with various factors in our lives. There are some things that are unpleasant, but if we look, there are far more things that are going on that are just fine. But when we start to think like that, we get a little disgruntled with some things that are going on in our lives. Let us be like this one man who was thankful, and he gave a list. He goes, I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. I'm talking to the right crowd tonight. And if that doesn't describe you, it will Thursday night. I guarantee it. Say, man, what happened to my shirt? That turkey happened to your shirt. That's what it's all about. I'm also thankful for all the complaining I hear about the government. Well, I don't believe this one. We'll move on. Because it means that I have freedom of speech. At least so far, we still do. For the alarm that goes off early in the morning hours because it means that I am alive. For the teenager who is not doing the dishes at home because that means he is at home and not on the streets. For the taxes that I pay because it means that I'm employed. For the lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. For the weariness at the end of the day because it means I have been capable of working. And then for those of you that are going to go out on Black Friday, for the parking spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking and that I have been blessed with transportation. You see, there's two ways to look at everything. We can look at things through a complaining spirit. And by the way, let me just say this. Some people, you're better at looking at things through a negative spirit than others. Say, how do you know that? Because that's my disposition. Is there anybody like that? You see the negative more than you see the positive? Anybody at all? You come in and everything can be clean and there's three things. And just one, and say, hey, the house, it's not dirty. But that's just how I am. I'm fighting it. Pray for me. But we have to purposely look for the positives in the things that we consider to be negatives. That's called being thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 tells us that it's God's will for us to be thankful. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, we talk about God's will. What is God's will for my life? Typically, we're thinking about who we're going to marry, where we're going to live. What job am I going to have in my life? What does God want me to do? We think about that in God's will. And some of those things are not black and white. God has to lead us to that point in our life as we follow him on a daily basis. But it says right here that there is one thing we know 100% for sure is God's will for our life. Being thankful and giving thanks. God wants us to give him thanks. We should thank God for the small things in life. Look, give us day by day our daily bread. Do you thank God for the food you get each and every day? There was a old-time preacher in the 50s. His name was Harry Ironside, H.A. Ironside, they called him. And he was in a restaurant, and he was sitting at a table. It was a crowded restaurant, and he was sitting there waiting for his food. Another guy came in, it was crowded, and said, do you mind if I share a table with you? He said, fine, have a seat. So they're sitting there, and this preacher, H.A. Ironside, his food comes, and he bows his head, and he prays over his food and thanks God for his food. The guy sitting there looked at him and said, you know, saw him bow his head and didn't know what's going on, and goes, do you have a headache? He goes, no, I didn't have a headache. He goes, is there something wrong with your food? You're looking at it. He goes, no. I was just thanking God for my food. And the guy goes, oh, you're one of those. He goes, well, let me tell you how it works with me. He goes, I don't thank God for my food because I work hard to earn my money. So when it comes, I just dig in. And H.A. Ironside said, yes, I understand. You're just like my dog. That's what he does too. Okay. Now, I hope we're not like a dog. I hope that we're thankful for everything that God. You say, that's a small thing. It's a big thing. God provides everything for us. And so we should be thankful for everything we get. When's the last time you thank God for your salvation? We had, I know most of you have had your class parties, but we had our class Thanksgiving activity last night. We took blessings, and a lot of people, first thing out of their mouth when they blessed God was, I thank God for my salvation. By the way, we can never thank God for our salvation enough. All you got to do is, and because we don't think about eternity. If you stopped and thought about eternity, you'd thank God for your salvation all the time. Don't be like the 10 lepers. There was 10 lepers, and they were healed. And as they were healed, only one came back to thank Jesus. He says, hey, where are the other 9? At least one came back. Let's not be like the 9. Let's not take for granted everything that God gives for us. This is Thanksgiving. Let's be thankful. So the importance of Thanksgiving, God wants us to thank him. Now, number 2, let me give you some reasons why we aren't thankful. I would say, first of all, because we're discontented. What does it mean by being discontented? We always want more. That's just how we are. Years ago, I had to teach... When I used to teach in the high school, I'd teach a class every semester. Brother Esposito gave me economics. I'm like, seriously, are you mad at me? I don't know anything about economics. I got a dollar in my pocket. He goes, it's not that hard. He goes, I'll give you a book to study. And so he gave me this book, and I studied it. And actually, it was a pretty fascinating subject. And I really enjoyed that class. One of all the classes I taught, that's actually one of the ones I really enjoyed. But I did learn one of the fundamentals of economics. The fundamentals of when you look at the fundamentals of economics, really the principle is this: our resources are limited, but our wants or our desires are unlimited. And really, economics is the choices we make based on our limited resources and our unlimited wants. We can't have everything we want, so we have to make choices. That's the basis of economics. But let me just tell you something. It's absolutely right when it says our wants are unlimited. We always want more. Yeah. And so because we always want more, it's very easy to become discontent. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, his manservant, maidservant, everything he has. We're not supposed to covet. What is coveting? It's wanting something that somebody else has. It's getting our eyes off of what we have and looking at what other people have and wanting what they have. But it starts when we get our eyes off of God and we get our eyes off of what we have and we're looking to get more that maybe we necessarily don't need. We covet because what we're telling God is we are not satisfied with what we have. We want more. Or we compare ourselves with our neighbor and we think what they have is much better than what we have. That's becoming discontent. We call this, you know, the little phrase, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But can I just tell you something? When you get on the other side of the fence, the grass still needs to be mowed. It still needs to be watered just like yours. And if you don't, it'll end up the same way. We're always looking for more. That's how our eyes are. The lust of the eyes. It's hard to be thankful when you're always wanting more. So we become discontent. Another reason we're not thankful is because, and I hope we don't buy into this, we feel like we deserve more. Well, I just feel like God should give me more. Really? You know, really, what do we all deserve? Someone tell me. Hell. That's what we deserve. We're sinners. We spit in God's eye, really, when we're sinning. Our sin is rebellion to God. Or like Joseph, when he would not go with Potiphar's wife, said, how can I do this wickedness against God? We're sinners. We deserve hell. Yes, hey, if we're saved and we're getting heaven, everything on top of that is a bonus. Yeah, and if we see it that way, we'll be thankful for everything we have. We think we deserve more. I like Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Now, how would you like it? Now, the Mormons believe that you can become a god. And you get your own planet. And you populate that planet. Look, if I was God, you wouldn't want to be on my planet. we wouldn't have overpopulation. You know, these people that curse God to his face or they spit it, I don't believe you exist. Bzz, how's that for belief? Okay, I would not make a good God. You'd pray for me. It would be a bad thing. Okay, and we just think, oh, I deserve all. You don't deserve anything. And it's God's mercies that he's not like that. God's merciful to us. We don't deserve anything. And God is so good to give us so much more than we deserve. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's how we are. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's funny. We're really, in that picture, we're sheep that have gone away from our shepherd, the Lord, and yet you know what he did? In his love, he laid our iniquity on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we whine about what we don't have. We have a lot. So because we feel we deserve more. By the way, never pray and ask God for what you deserve. Don't do that. Well, Lord, I just want what I deserve. If you pray that, give me some space because I want to get out of there. Okay? If you get what you deserve, it is not going to be good. By the way, you want, you know, the people, the children, I believe in the power of prayer. The Israelites in the wilderness prayed, Lord, would to God we die in the wilderness. And he goes, okay. Answer to prayer. And they all died in the wilderness. Be careful. Don't whine to God. Okay? Stop and think before you speak or before you think. We feel like we deserve more. Also, here's another reason we're not thankful. We just don't think. Well, I have nothing to be thankful for. Really? Think about that. You have nothing to be thankful for. You're just not stopping and thinking. All you have to do is stop. Think about today, all that's going on in your life. Did you go to work and did you come home and you were still in one piece? You ought to thank God. Did you eat today? You ought to thank God. Did you wake up today? You ought to thank God. Are you married today? Do you have children today? You ought to thank God. I'm sorry. If you're married today, thank God. Okay? You can thank God about everything. We just don't think. Turn over to Psalm chapter 63. Let's read a couple verses here. Psalm chapter 63. We'll read verses 4 to 6. And there are 63 chapters in Psalms, at least. Verse 4. He says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When, here's the key, I remember thee upon thy bed. And meditate on thee in the night watches. I remember a while ago, I was driving somewhere on the freeway years ago, and there was a car off to the side of the freeway, and they were working on their car, and I noticed the car in the lane closest to them wasn't paying attention, was actually on course to hit that car. And, you know, about 20, 30 feet before then, the guy saw and just corrected and missed that car. And, you know, the person that was working on the front of that car, I thought, they weren't even aware that that was taking place. That person could have just, in a split second, not paid attention and rammed in that car. That person could have been killed. I wonder when we get to heaven how many times we'll look at things that God's going to say, man, I bailed you out so many times. Oh, yeah. By the way, babies and little children, God bails them out all the time. Yeah. They stick stuff in light sockets. They eat stuff they shouldn't eat. One of our grandchildren, I won't tell you which one, but they changed her diaper the other day, and inside her diaper was this little plastic toy. How'd it get inside of her diaper? It took a really dramatic turn to get in there, okay? We don't know what God's done. But God's done a bunch of wonderful things. We just need to think about it. We don't think. And then next, because we're forgetful. Some of us, and this is harder for some of you that grew up in church, but some of us, we got saved maybe a little later in life. And so there were some things because we got saved and God changed our lives and brought us out of some things or helped us avoid some things, and we don't think about that enough. I like that verse in it's Acts where Paul is talking about the converts I believe it's in the church of Corinth. And he talks about all the wicked things they were involved with, and all the wicked things going on in Corinth, and then he uses the phrase, and such were some of you. He was saying that's where some of you were brought from. Some of you were involved in that stuff. And so we forget what God has done in our life. Now, I would say to those of you that grew up in church, you ought to thank God and don't be forgetful that God saved you from those things. You don't have to. It always kills me when some of our good teenagers, and they start looking out at these kids that are godless and never went to church, not saved, and boy, I want to be involved in that stuff. You don't know what you're looking at. You don't know. You say, oh, that looks like they have some, they have nothing. I remember as a 18-year-old, I got into church, I got right with God, I started serving God, and I had come totally out of the world, and I'm seeing some of the good kids in the church there, and they're starting to go back in the world. I'm like, what are you guys doing? I'm like, there's nothing there. That stuff is junk. We forget what God has spared us from. I read a story. There was in 1860, there was a ship called the Lady Elgin, and it was rammed by another ship. And there was a man named, a ministerial student. His name was Edward Spencer. And so he saw this. It was close to the shore. And so what he did is the water was freezing cold. And he went in and out, was just pulling people out that were struggling, that were really drowning. And he was able to save 17 people's lives that day. But because of the cold and he started to get hypothermia, it caused some serious health problems, which really were a part of his life until the day of his death. And they said that when he did die at his funeral, it was mentioned that not one of the people that he saved ever came back to him and thanked him for what he did. We forget. We do that to God so many times. You and I do it. We just forget the good things God has done for us. And then the last reason we're not thankful is because we've lost our first love. Of course, we know the verse in Revelation. He tells the church, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. It just seems like the longer we're saved, the longer we know God, the easier it is to forget that feeling or that emotion or that love we've had for God. It's like anything. You get used to it. You know, when you were dating your future spouse, there was a love there. There's an excitement there. And then you got married. It's a honeymoon period. And, you know, eventually that honeymoon period ends. Sorry, Daniel. It ends. Tragically. No. And what happens? If you're not careful, that love you had starts to slip. Why? Because you're not working on it. You're not remembering. It's not that. We can't always live by the newness of things. You know, we get excited that, oh, something's new. It's all exciting, whatever. And then we get used to it. We ought to never get used to things that God does for us. We're leaving our first love. We don't want to do that. We stop noticing the good thing. You know, when we first started reading our Bible, man, it was all new. It's like, wow, I've never heard that. That's great. And now we've read it so many times. Or someone's going to preach, hey, take your Bibles. I've heard that scripture before. So you know every little thing that God has in that scripture? We get used to things, and we don't want to be like that. So that's how we become unthankful. How can we become thankful? To become thankful, it's very easy. Let's do the opposite of the things we just mentioned that keep us from being thankful. What do I mean? First of all, let's be content. Instead of being discontent, let's be content. Let's be thankful for what God has given us, and let's not dwell or worry about that which he has not given to us. It's just a matter of what you put your eyes on. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain would be like something like, wow, you know, we have all this money, or that type of gain or profit. Well, he says, you know what it is? It's godliness with contentment. What is contentment? Being thankful for what I have right now. Realizing I don't need anything else to have the joy of the Lord. I have everything I need right now. Now, if God gives me more, that's great, but I don't need it to have that joy that God wants me to have. Contentment. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And we've talked about contentment many times here. Be content. Amen. Be thankful for what you have. By the way, why would God give us more if we're not happy with what he's given us? By the way, that little kid that you spoil, every time you give in to them, that ain't making them happy. They're always going to want more. You're teaching what a kid is, a little brat. You know, give me this or I'll cry. Cry away. You ain't getting it. Because if you give it to them, you're creating a little monster that always has to have more. And they're never happy with anything they get. Okay? Now, it's okay sometimes they ask for something and they're being good and they have a good spirit. And we like to say, you know what? You've been good. I'll get that for you. But as soon as they throw a little tizzy, it's like, done. You ain't getting it. Okay? Why? Teach them to be thankful. Amen. And if you're always giving what they want, you're teaching them to be discontented. So be content. Next, realize your indebtedness. Instead of saying, hey, I'm not getting what I feel like I deserve, realize you owe a debt to God. Amen. Read this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now listen to what that's saying. Jesus Christ, the perfect man, God in the flesh, never sinned. He became sin for us. A holy God who hates sin literally absorbed all of our sin so that we could have his righteousness. He did a lot for us. We ought to be thankful to him. We are indebted to him eternally. Amen. Let's hasten here. Next, dwell on God's goodness. We're not thankful because we don't think, so what do we got to do? We got to stop and think. Psalm 27, verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, man, things aren't going very well right now. I'm starting to faint, but I realize one day it's going to be better. He's thinking about the future. Think. This Thanksgiving, what is there to be thankful about? Give me something specific. What is there? There's all kinds of things to be thankful about. Stop and think. We say that God has been good to us. Realize this. Good isn't what God does to us. Good is who God is. It's not what he does. God doesn't do good, although he does, you know what I'm saying. God is good. So when God is doing good, it's not because God is just doing good. It's because good is who God is. He is good in his expression of his character. Next, how can we be thankful? Remember. Remember what God has done for you. Deuteronomy 6:12. A warning he gave to the children of Israel. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, hey, one day things are going to be going good for you. You know what's going to happen? You're going to forget that you were slaves. You're going to forget that you were in a house of bondage. You're going to forget that they didn't feed you right. You're going to forget that you were mistreated. You're going to forget all the misery that caused you to beg me to take you out of Egypt. He says, don't forget. Because when things get good, you know what happens? We forget. Stop and think about what God has done. And then lastly, stay in love with God. Don't lose that first love. By the way, it's like anything. It's got to be done on purpose. Okay? When you were first married, I'll open the car door. I'll do all that stuff. I'll do all this stuff. And now it's like the car door's not that heavy. Okay? All you do is push the button and pull. How many of you can you do that? Good. Okay? You know, she carries the groceries in from the car. It's like, hey, make sure you close the door when you're done. Okay, you used to hop up and help her. By the way, have children. They can do all that for you, and it won't be a problem. But you have to purposely work on that. If we're going to stay in love with God, we got to purposely work on it. We talk about couples have a date night. Well, you ought to have a date time with God every day. Spend time with him. Stay in love with him. There's no reason for us not to be thankful. And if we understood that God sees being unthankful as a very, very bad thing, we'll work hard on being thankful. So this Thanksgiving, take some time to thank God. I hope that you really should do it on a daily basis. God, thank you for today. Thank you I was able to eat. Thank you I was able to go to work. Thank you for all the things you're doing in my life. Let's not be forgetful. Let's pray.